This is the Well-Being Report on WDIY, discussing the vital conditions for health and well-being in the Lehigh Valley. Featuring WDIY's Margaret McConnell and Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. Now, here's Margaret and Samantha.
Good evening, and welcome to the Well-Being Report. This program is generously sponsored and co-hosted by our friends at the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health. I'm your co-host, Margaret McConnell, Executive Director at WDIY, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Samantha Schock, Executive Director of the Leonard Parker Poole Institute for Health.
Good to be with you.
So last episode in January, we did a little introduction of what this podcast would be about going forward. It was renamed to the Well-Being Report starting in January. And so we wanted to talk about the Vital Conditions Framework, which is going to be the subject matter of this podcast for the rest of this year. One of the key components in Vital Conditions for Health is health and safety, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, so there are seven vital conditions, and one of them is basic needs for health and safety. And that really looks at people's foundation for health and well-being, and recognizing that in order for us to be healthy, we need the basics first and foremost, things like fresh air, clean water, and nutritious food. But it also includes things like access to primary care and mental wellness and safety, so freedom from trauma and violence. And we want to, throughout the year, highlight ways that these vital conditions are being embodied in the work in the Lehigh Valley. And so tonight, we're happy to highlight our first initiative and talk a little bit about the Blue Zones effort in Allentown and the Lehigh Valley. Blue Zones is about making our community a place where people live better, longer, with a higher quality of life, by addressing the built environment and including food systems. So getting back to that, nutritious food is a basic need, right? And mental wellness is a basic need. And so these are some of the things you'll see and hear tonight as we talk about Blue Zones and what they are trying to do and bring to the Lehigh Valley. I want to just quickly tie this back to a past episode of Health Beat as well. And me and Greg had the opportunity to have Dan Buettner Jr. from the Blue Zones national team on when we were in that exploration phase, thinking about whether Allentown would be the right fit for Blue Zones. And so it's exciting today to now have Brooke Griffiths, the executive director of the Blue Zones project in Allentown, with us tonight to talk about what this work is actually going to look like in the Lehigh Valley now that we're moving it forward. So Brooke, welcome, and thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Margaret. Great to join you tonight.
Brooke, can you explain a little bit about the National Blue Zones Initiative and its core mission?
Sure. So across the globe lie blue zone regions, or cultures where people live measurably longer, happier lives with lower rates of chronic disease and a higher quality of life than most Americans do. Our founder, who was a National Geographic explorer, Dan Buettner, and his team documented their findings of an 8-year longevity study, which identified 9 shared traits of these longevity hotspots. In Blue Zones language, we call those the Power 9. By leveraging these characteristics discovered in the original Blue Zones around the world, we're able within the Blue Zones project to locally deliver proven tools and resources to transform communities, which really is going to help generations of people to live longer, healthier, happier lives by making changes to their environment, to the policies that are impacting them, their social networks, really with the goal of making healthier choices easier. So by using the Power 9, we can improve where we live, where we work, where we learn, where we play, and make it easier to get up and move, eat healthier, make new friends, find a reason for being, and live better and longer. These Power 9 principles, we group them into 4 categories: move naturally, right outlook, connection, and eat wisely. Our homes and communities and workplaces are naturally designed to nudge us into physical activity. By giving a focus to our favorite activities, we're more likely to practice them regularly. So if you enjoy gardening or walking or biking, maybe instead of driving to run your errands, if you live in an environment that allows for a safe way to walk or bike to run your errands, you're more likely to do that and to increase your natural movement. Individuals who know and can articulate their sense of purpose and take time intentionally to downshift really are going to improve their outlook. I don't know of a single person who does not have stress in their day. The people in the original Blue Zones had a lot of stress as well. Most of those regions were at or below the poverty line. So the idea is not that you don't have any stress. It's that you are able to have some system in place that works for you to downshift and to be able to mitigate that stress in some way, ideally by connecting with others as well.
Can you explain a little bit about what downshifting means for those who haven't heard that term before?
Sure. Downshifting is really just that notion of having some sort of system or coping mechanism to mitigate your stress. So that's going to look different for everybody. For some, that may be taking a walk, that may be calling a friend, that might be reading a book. It can take all different types of shapes. And then connection is huge. We know, you know, social isolation, particularly in our elderly population, is a huge concern that just continues to grow and grow and grow. But research does indicate that it's really important for people to surround themselves with the right people. And by right people, we mean people who make them happy and support them in making healthy choices and living out healthy behaviors. So by doing things like putting your loved ones first, spending quality time with friends and family, participating in a faith-based community, regardless of denomination, those are all things that are going to help people to connect and to build that social support system to combat some of the increasing, you know, isolation and mental health issues that we're seeing. And then in most cases, we know that fad diets do not provide lasting results. There's sort of time-tested strategies for healthier eating, including, you know, a predominantly plant-slant diet that can really move the needle more. So eating less at each individual meals, having a verbal reminder, you know, to not overeat, focusing more on getting fresh produce, so fruits and vegetables that are locally grown, and then having a healthy relationship with alcohol. So, you know, maybe you're drinking a glass of wine, but making sure that it's part of a meal or as part of a social gathering with your loved ones where you're able to connect while you're enjoying that glass of wine.
There's a lot of good concepts and efforts there that I think we will dig into more. Thanks for that overview, Brooke.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like everybody's New Year's resolutions, right? Move more, take more time to de-stress, eat better. But those are all, you know, just basic principles of how to take care of yourself and live right. So when you mentioned the National Geographic explorer, Dan Buettner, do you know where he did his studies? Was it all in the United States?
No. So it was a global exploration. The original Blue Zones that Dan and his team found were in places like Japan, Greece, Italy, Costa Rica, and then there is a community in Loma Linda, California, that is one of the original Blue Zones as well.
Interesting. Brooke, how does the concept of life radius help guide the Blue Zone strategy for transforming communities?
Great question, Margaret. So the life radius really builds upon the Power 9 characteristics. And within the Blue Zone project, we're going to be focusing on optimizing the human-made environments to improve well-being. Our goal is to make healthier choices so natural that people end up improving their well-being with minimal extra effort. So being in an environment and interacting with systems that naturally nudge you towards making healthier choices is what's going to move the needle. Because if you think about it, we spend 90% of our time in the same places, usually within a 20-mile radius of our home. And that environment really dictates how easy or how difficult it is for us to make healthy choices. So by focusing our change efforts on the human-made surroundings, it doesn't require us to rely on individual behavior and on willpower. which we know, like any muscle, is going to fatigue over time. That's why most New Year's resolutions, you know, fizzle out in mid-February, because it can't be based solely on one person's individual willpower. There needs to be a system and an environment around them that is supporting those changes. So taking this environmental approach to health and well-being is really going to allow us to see improvement across the entire community in the places and spaces that people are living, working, and playing.
We talk about that a lot on the show in terms of having a place-based approach, right? And so it's that same idea, connecting that life radius concept to how do we better understand the environments that we're spending most of our time in? And whether you are looking at how much you can engage in health behaviors, what access you have to educational opportunities, what type of housing you have, these all happen within the neighborhoods that we spend most of our time in. So, you know, there is a connection there with the Blue Zones model and some of the place-based efforts that we've talked about previously around really focusing on how do we invest in the places where people are spending the most of their time so that they have the greatest opportunity ahead of them.
And would that be like an example, food access, for example, so within a 20 block radius of your house, having a store that provides fresh produce within walking distance of your house? Is that an example?
Absolutely. One of the areas that the project focuses on outside of our food systems policy area, within our places pillar, is working with local restaurants and grocery stores. How can we partner with them to, again, have healthier choices available and sort of highlighted? So if you think about, you walk into a grocery store or a corner store, how is the store laid out? One, are there even healthy choices available within that space? If there are, where are they located? Are they up front, right in front of you at checkout, sort of catching your attention, or are they hidden in the back corner? Within a restaurant, if you are ordering an entree, is the default side something deep fried, or is it a side salad? So not that you can't still, you know, enjoy things, all things in moderation, but if the default options are the healthier choices, people are going to pick those choices more often than they would if it was not the default selection.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
You referenced the policy versus your people and places pillars. Can you just give a brief overview of what those three pillars mean and what type of work happens in each one of them?
Sure. So within a Blue Zones project, we focus on three pillars. Within policy, we look at built environment. So think about the physical environment and spaces and places within our community. Food systems. So, you know, everything from access to affordability to capacity building skills around how to prepare healthy food in a tasty and flavorful way, to alcohol and tobacco policy. Within our places pillar, that's where we're really going to partner with our schools. We're already partnering with Allentown School District around how can we implement some programming and some changes and some of these healthier choices within the schools itself, but then also within the schools as a work site, which is another one of the focus areas within the places pillars, is partnering with large employers in the area to have healthy options available to their employees. You know, do they have options to, access healthy food? Do they have an option within their workday to move naturally and sort of take a break, get up and move away from their desk? Do they have opportunities to connect, you know, throughout their day with their peers for a meaningful social connection? Things like that. And then we touched briefly on restaurants and grocery stores as the other main focus areas within the places pillar. And then within people, that's where we're really trying to engage and activate the individual residents within the city of Allentown, as well as partnering with our nonprofits, our civic and social organizations, our faith-based community, to really help them on that individual level. What sort of changes do they want to make? And maybe, you know, they identify with our personal pledge and say, you know what, I want to commit to making some small changes for myself. Maybe they need some social connection. So they join one of our Mowais, which is the Blue Zone language for a group of people coming together for a common purpose. So that could look like a walking group, a yoga group, a healthy potluck group. It can take all different shapes and forms, but it's really about committing to participate for at least 10 weeks with a group of people for a common purpose. Speaking of purpose, being able to identify and articulate one's purpose in life can add roughly 7 additional good years onto your life. So we'll be able to offer workshops that are tailored to all different populations to help people identify what is their purpose. And if they know, how can they help us to help others identify what their purpose is? And then really a big piece within the people pillar is around volunteerism. You know, research has shown us time and time again, the benefits to one's health and well-being if you volunteer and give back to others. So how can we partner with our local nonprofits and other organizations to, you know, curate some volunteer experiences that align with the Blue Zone's principles or lend a helping hand to initiatives that they already have going on where they just need some more manpower?
What inspired the launch of Blue Zones in the Lehigh Valley?
LVHN started exploring Blue Zones as a potential strategy and community investment back in 2022, and the conversations really deepened in 2023 as we engaged in an initial planning and assessment phase with Blue Zones National. This was prior to Brooke and her team being in place as we were thinking about, does this make sense for us? Is Allentown ready for this? Is Allentown a good fit? A big piece of this is ensuring that the municipal government is aligned with it as well. And so work closely with the city of Allentown to say, does this make sense for us as our next step in the ways that we try to support the health of the residents here in Allentown and the Lehigh Valley? You're very familiar with the region, Brooke. You're born and raised here in Allentown and now are raising your family here. So what do you think makes Allentown uniquely positioned for this kind of transformation and wanting to be a part of something like this?
I love Allentown. Allentown is such a dynamic city. There's evidence every day of just the collaborative spirit and collective desire for a healthier, happier future within Allentown. The city really has a diverse economy that over the last few years, especially, has attracted new developers, new business, new residents. We have a phenomenal and rich cultural fabric that you can see play out through our civic, social, and nonprofit organizations. And they're really all aligned with helping to improve health and well-being in some capacity. Now, obviously, you know, there are some challenges that we're facing here: rising housing costs, unsafe sidewalks and streets, a lack of access to local and affordable healthy food options. But that collective desire to live healthier and happier is evident with the support of local businesses, community organizations, the enthusiasm from our city leaders, and really some strong cross-sector collaborations. So I think taking all that into account, Allentown is very well positioned to see a quantifiable improvement in the well-being of its residents at the end of this work.
And where are we in the journey of getting the Blue Zones transformation project off the ground here?
So the project consists of 2 phases. The first is a 9-month foundation period, which we just completed. And during that period, we were really focused on discovery within those 3 pillars of policy, people, and places. We were completing research, observation, holding community meetings, interviews, to really capture the feedback of our community leaders, stakeholders, and residents, so that we can then develop a blueprint, which is the stage we're at now, is really mapping out our plan for community transformation work, inclusive of measurable outcomes. It's not going to be any good for us to do any sort of transformation work if we can't quantify the impact that we're having. So that's all currently underway. And then this spring, we'll officially launch our transformation period, which will last for 5 years.
We've spent most of our time talking about Allentown, but I do want to take a minute just to acknowledge that there are activation projects also happening in Bethlehem and Easton, making this more of a Lehigh Valley-wide effort. Can you just share a brief summary of what's happening in those 2 activation initiatives?
Absolutely. So within those Activate programs in Bethlehem and Easton, they are focused on the policy pillar, particularly working in built environment and food systems. So slightly smaller scope of work. And then the engagement for those Activates is 3 years, with the goal of, you know, hopefully that work is so successful that it's able to expand and continue into the future to start to cover some of the additional pillars. And we are, you know, looking across the three cities at where are there synergies, where's there's natural alignment. Most of the community organizations do not stay within city limits, right? They're covering multiple cities or multiple counties. So wherever we can align our efforts with our community partners and across our three Blue Zone initiatives, we're going to make sure that we're doing that.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that that's definitely how our lives operate, right? We do not stay within city bounds often. So being able to connect things where it makes sense, I think will be really beneficial for the Lehigh Valley as a whole. I want to transition to dig into the food system and policy piece a bit more. I've had the opportunity to participate in the Blue Zone's Allentown policy summits and discussions. I want to just share a little bit, Brooke, if you would be willing to just give a few examples of what are the types of things that we're looking to do within the food policy space. So as we connect this back to basic needs for health and safety and ensuring that all people have access to nutritious food, how will some of what we're envisioning in the Blue Zone's transformation help us achieve that health and wellness goal?
Absolutely. So within our policy pillar, we are working in four different areas: food systems, built environment, alcohol, and tobacco. But using food systems and built environment as our examples, some of the recommendations that came out of our discovery process included things like building a comprehensive community-wide food skills education strategy. So it's not just enough for people to be able to access and afford healthy food. Do they know what to do with it once they have it so that it tastes good and they want to keep eating it? I think we take that for granted, right? That if we just get people the food, then we've solved the problem. But if they don't know how to cook, you know, cauliflower to make it taste delicious, they're probably not going to consistently eat it. Strengthening the availability of nutritious food at local food pantries and enhancing access to healthy food retailers for people using public transit. So again, we've seen that for years in the Valley. We have food deserts within Allentown and throughout the Lehigh Valley. So how can we bridge that gap? And how can we offer within our food pantries for our most vulnerable residents, healthier options? Again, layering that on with giving them the capacity building skills to then use that healthy option within their home. And then looking across the region, what came out in all three of the city's discovery processes was really a desire and a need to reinvigorate the Food Policy Council, which could directly help prioritize food system needs across the entire Lehigh Valley. If we move over to built environment, some of the examples we saw there are very specific projects around improving the walkability and the bikeability within Allentown. There are, you know, specific, we got down to the intersection or the block level in some cases of how can we very tangibly make some semi-permanent and permanent changes to these spaces so that people can walk and bike safely there. Another piece that you don't necessarily think about with built environment, but that is very important, is improving and encouraging social connection through inviting community gathering spaces. So taking a look at, you know, maybe some of the neighborhoods where we see higher rates of depression and social isolation. And is there an opportunity for us to reverse engineer an inviting community gather space and then program that space so that people want to come out and gather, and then they have that opportunity to connect with their neighbors? And then from a regional perspective, again, looking across all three of the Blue Zone initiatives in the Valley, we've had many conversations around public transit. How can we improve the rider experience so that using public transit isn't just something you do out of necessity, but something that maybe you choose to do, which we don't see a lot around here, but in other major cities, we do. you know, people opt for public transit over driving an individual vehicle. And then looking at how we can improve, increase, and connect our trails. We have a beautiful and robust trail system throughout the entire Lehigh Valley, but there are some gaps that if we were able to connect those gaps, it would provide a safe opportunity for people who did want to walk or bike throughout the region to do so.
The example I always highlight is this, you know, connecting those pieces. I think that's such a great effort that we don't think about, that we have a lot of individual assets, but how do those connect? So if you're living in one neighborhood in Allentown and you want to get to another section of Allentown, how do you do that? Right now, the easiest way is by car usually, but how do we make more walking and biking possible? And I think that opens up access to lots of other things in that process as well. So something that would benefit all residents of Allentown if we were able to do that. One of the neighborhoods that we often highlight on this program is Franklin Park in Allentown, and how the work there is embodying the vital conditions framework and how we're thinking about all the things that people need in order to be able to thrive over time. A big piece of that is constantly engaging with the residents and the neighbors there and making sure that we are developing relationships with them to determine what they want to see in their neighborhood. Let's talk a little bit about how Blue Zones will interact with other big initiatives. So Franklin Park it has a lot of activity right now, but also there are larger city efforts like the Recompete Grant, which we've talked about as well. And so how will Blue Zones help add to those efforts that are already underway and make some connections with those things as well?
Absolutely. And you nailed it, Sam, when you said add to. So the Blue Zone project in Allentown is not looking to duplicate or derail any current community work. There's a ton of amazing things that have been going on and continue to occur within Allentown. Where we can help is we can help to accelerate existing efforts, launch new initiatives, or fill gaps. So sometimes the work is just too much, right, for any one group to do. So there might be a portion of that work that we could help with and lend our, you know, time and talents and skills to get off the ground. Throughout our foundation period, though, it was really important to our team to very quickly start building relationships with, you know, all of these existing community entities and partners, and really to push into those spaces rather than trying to pull people out of them into our space. So from the very beginning, the team has been participating in existing community meetings. Some of our people discovery sessions were held with Franklin Park and our partners at Cohesion. Our policy lead, Robert, has been doing a phenomenal job of integrating into the different city planning meetings that are happening around Recompete and Safe Streets and the comprehensive park and rec plan that is underway to make sure that we're aligning our work so that we can be additive and not duplicative. And then also, you know, offering some fresh collaborations across sectors. I think we have seen in some of the meetings that we have hosted that there are people around the table together who normally are not around the table together. And some new ideas have come out of that cross-pollination that might not otherwise have occurred.
Yeah, the thing I always say is, you know, there's more than enough work to go around, right? And we need all of us working towards health and well-being overall in all the different ways that we can in order for us to really see improvements over time. So I think, you know, Blue Zones, it will be great to have another initiative that really is prioritizing this and coming in and joining what's already happening and adding to and helping us achieve some things that we might not be able to do otherwise.
How can listeners get more involved in the Blue Zones effort?
Tons of ways that you can get involved as a volunteer, as a resident, as an employer. But we do have a couple events coming up that if, you know, somebody would like to learn more. First, on February 25th, we're offering a free community screening of the Blue Zones docuseries, Live to 100. That's going to be held at Arts Quest. Doors will open at 5 p.m. You can, you know, check out our social media for the link to register for that. Again, it's a free event. And then our big Super Bowl, if you will, is our community kickoff celebration event, which is going to be April 19th at the PPL Event Center. Again, another free event to the community. Doors will open at 10 a.m. Really a great day for family-focused fun, education. There's going to be a ton of giveaways and raffle prizes that day. Lots of activities to get moving. So if anyone is interested in volunteering or hosting a resource vendor table, please email me at brooke@bluezones.com. And then, you know, check out our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and visit our website, bluezonesprojectlehighvalley.com, to sign up to join our distribution list so that you continue to get information on future initiatives and events.
Thanks so much, Brooke, for sharing all of this information. This is a really exciting project for Allentown. And as you mentioned, also great to have these initiatives happening in the other cities as well. Thank you so much, Samantha. If you would like to listen to this program again, it's always available on wdiy.org, where you can stream it, also on the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for listening and have a great night.
This has been the Well-Being Report on WDIY. Thank you for listening. This episode and others are archived and available online at lppih.org and on wdiy.org, and also can be accessed on your favorite podcast streaming platform.